This is Nolan Financial Radio with Tara Nolan from Tara Nolan Advisory Services. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Tara provides her clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Nolan Financial Radio with Tara Nolan.
Hello, and welcome back to Nolan Financial Radio. My name is Chris McKinney from Nolan Financial Partners. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 719-210-4242 or visit us online at our website, nolanfinancialpartners.com. And while at our website, click on the radio page, check out our past shows, and subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or even Amazon Music. Few of us will forget the high inflation our wallets slapped with in 2022. High inflation caused significant budgetary challenges for many Americans, but 2023 has produced good news when it comes to inflation. So a combination of higher interest rates, easing supply chain challenges, and more restrictive credit has helped ease inflation in 2023. As of this past May, the annualized rate of CPI inflation declined for the 11th consecutive month. The article makes the case that the Federal Reserve is steadily nearing its goal of lowering inflation to its long-term target of 2%. Many of you will likely recall that in May of this year, the Fed raised interest rates by 0.25 percentage point, the 10th straight month that it raised rates. Wow. So while the evidence I've just cited suggests inflation is on a downward trajectory, they're still more expensive than they were prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. However, I think many consumers are still unsure about what causes inflation and how it may affect their financial strategy. So during today's show, we're going to offer up a little inflation 101 so that you can make better sense of all these news stories about it. So, but before we start talking about that, let me introduce you to my co-host, Tony Shore, who promises to not interrupt the show if we hear the ice cream truck bells, even though temperatures are plenty hot out there.
Right. That ice cream truck. Yeah, I think you're going to lose me if I hear ice cream truck music playing. You might lose me on this warm summer day. I might have to.
Oh, boy.
You're just going to see an empty. It's like, right?
Yeah, we've hit the 90s here on the Front Range of Colorado, and that it's hot. It's been a lot.
Yeah, that's hot for it's Colorado. Hot. It's warm, and there's some humidity with it, so that's never good either. So
yeah.
I mean, but does anything, Chris, ever make you feel like a kid again as much as seeing or hearing an ice cream truck?
No.
I mean, to me, that brings back some memories. And they are making a comeback, at least in the neighborhood where I live. I live in a residential neighborhood, and we'll hear the truck's music. And even my kids, who, even when they were teenagers, they'd run out. We'd give them money. We'd all go out, and then we'd wander out after them, let all the neighborhood kids go get theirs. And then I'd get my malt cup. Or an ice cream sandwich. Sure. I like the malt cup. Anyway.
Ice cream sandwich.
Yes, exactly. So today, the topic you have sounds like a good one. Obviously, it's pertinent. Finally, the inflation rates are starting to come down. Hopefully, the Fed will bring us in for a soft landing like they're trying to do. You know, there's so many stories out there about inflation. And of course, I do have a lovely sound clip if we're going to talk about inflation today.
Talk about the U.S. inflation.
Yeah, a little Wall of Voodoo for Mexican radio. That's an 80s hit Mexican radio by Wall of Voodoo. But they talk about, I love it. They talk awesome. About the U.S. inflation. And that was in the 80s, which that song was popular, or he wrote the song in the early 80s when inflation was pretty high. That song was written. And we hadn't seen that level of inflation since that song came out in the early 80s. And now I felt, hey, Chris, it's appropriate again.
To talk about the U.S. inflation.
Right?
Well,
Mexican radio.
And financial experts have been predicting inflation since about 2011.
Yes.
And we've been holding it down after the big market crash due to the real estate collapse back in 08. They really felt like there was going to be an inflation to cover all the inflated produce from the 2000s, but because the market did so poorly in the 2000s, we didn't see it. And then government processes kept inflation really low, and so we didn't see it. And man, every year is like, okay, next year's gonna be the year. Okay, it's gonna be 2013. Okay,
but the market just kept going up and up after the 2008, what they call the Great Recession. The market just skyrocketed from there, you know, to 2019, where it was hitting peaks, and the Fed kept the interest rates kept low. Markets were going up. We thought, hey, this is great. And then a black swan event coupled with out of control government spending, of course, always contributes to it as usual. And that's what happened. The COVID, the black swan event was COVID. And we saw a big dip in 2020. But then in 2021, it rebounded. We thought, hey, we're out of the woods. But right. All that spending adding an instant, I think within a year and a half, they spent $6 or $7 trillion and just basically printed that money and put it out. Well, that's the problem.
The government printed a bunch of money, and then a lot of money sat in people's accounts. So you had people that had money, and you had a supply chain issue with getting goods to people. And so that's inflation.
Yeah. In a nutshell, I mean, it would be impossible at that point to have avoided it, I think. You know?
I think so, too.
Yeah. And I mean, and, you know, maybe people try to second guess the Fed on how they handled it, Chris. You know, like, oh, they should have started raising rates sooner. But hindsight's always 20/20. And I'm actually surprised that, you know, we were at over 10% inflation, and now we're down to 3. I mean, so these interest rates have been working, and yet they still haven't pushed us into a full scale recession. So, I mean, the economy is actually pretty good right now.
The economy is good, and the market has been good.
Yeah. This year it's been so good.
So we've got money moving in the market. We've got money still moving into the economy. So it's been really positive. I think what they did has actually been working.
Yeah.
Which is weird to say that the government did something and they did it right.
Right. Well, inflation has slowed. People can look at it, but there is the other side of the coin is that sure, inflation is down to 3%, but all those huge increases, they didn't go away. It's not like they went down by 8%, right? It's not like they went down by 7% to get us back to the 3 where we were at. No, inflation is only rising at a slower rate.
Right.
But those price increases, like housing, is still out of control. And so that still concerns me, Chris, is the housing market, right?
Yeah, because
it's a bubble that could burst.
Job salary increases are not meeting the housing rates, right? Those increases are not there.
Yeah.
There's some increase, I think, in the lower levels. You know, the hourly wage guys have seen some increases.
Yeah.
But not so much in the mid-level people.
Yeah. And that's where it seems like our economy, and where it really helps or affects the majority of the people, is in the middle.
Yep.
And it seems like taxes affect, you know, the middle class, from lower to upper middle class, lower middle class to upper middle class, that whole section. We're not talking about the if you get too low or too high. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the middle, the average workers, that is just stagnant and isn't going up enough to keep up with homes. That's why fewer people, younger people, are on, even if they have a middle class job or upper middle class job, they can't afford to buy a house. Like, my son's 24. Yeah. He's married. He's in the healthcare profession. His wife works full time. He works full time. They couldn't afford to buy a home right now because houses are priced. Middle class families can't buy a decent level home right now. They'd have to buy, they'd have to go pretty bad, unless they're really good at fixing up and don't mind living in a worse neighborhood. But they couldn't do what my wife and I did when we were, you know, that age and
no
buying our first house.
Right. Well, and then the other thing we're seeing is that these rise in real estate taxes Here in El Paso County, where we are, they were 25%. And so not a huge deal because our taxes weren't that high, but it's a cumbersome thing to have to plan for. But a lot of people in the Denver area, if you're on a fixed income and the realty prices have just skyrocketed where you are, that if you're on a fixed income, making that tax bill for your house, maybe they paid off their house, but they still have that big tax bill. And that's starting to really squeeze their income.
Yeah. Our tax bill went up over 25. I think it was about 30% our property taxes. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Huge. Our property tax bill went up that much. They redid the streets by our house. And so there was a fee or assessment on everyone's taxes because of that.
Yeah.
And so that increased it. And then just general increases on top of that. Not good.
Our county hasn't fixed anything.
Our city and county have done a lot, but they've also raised our taxes a lot. So,
yeah. Well, I like having good roads and I like having nice public parks.
Yes.
And those kind of things. So I don't mind paying my taxes.
I don't mind paying my fair share, but at this point, it seems like they're gouging and they're pricing people out of our neighborhood. We don't live in a fancy neighborhood by any means.
Right.
You know, it was built in the 70s. So these are houses from the late 70s that we live in.
Yeah.
And property taxes are outrageous. And the values they're valuing our homes at are, we could never sell it for that. I mean, that's what's crazy.
Right.
Right.
So salaries need to come up. And I mean, that's at the root of it is the salaries need to come up with everything else.
Yeah.
And so companies are going to have to figure that out.
Yeah. And the big companies, and I don't want to get political or offend anybody. I'm not anti-corporation or anti-wealth at all. No. I'm all for the American dream and I'm all for capitalism. But it's hard when you look at the profits, the net profits. And the surpluses that these big corporations have. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like health insurance companies, you know, they raised couple of years ago, they raised the health insurance cost. Our company went up 20%. The prices increase, you know, for what the company pays, they're paying 20% more. The employees pitching in 20% more because the overall cost went up 20%. And I looked at that parent healthcare company. I'll name names, Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Right.
And the Blue Cross Blue Shield, their surplus, the surplus for that past year that they said, you know, your company cost us too much money. We've got to raise your rates 20% was in the billions of dollars, their surplus.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's like, well, you know, at some point, you know, the executive staff can afford to maybe not take the $1 million bonus, you know, this year, sacrifice the bonuses and pay raises for a couple of years and use some of those corporate profits to increase your employees' wages and to help with healthcare, like pass it on to your consumers. But I think companies even forget about passing it on to the consumers, pay your people more. Right. I mean,
yeah. So McDonald's starting price here in El Paso County is $17 an hour to work at McDonald's.
Hmm. Wow.
So that's just crazy to me that they can get that much for, you know, no skill job.
Yeah, that is a lot. And I know that, so in some areas, you know, at the lower levels, they have increased it, but the mid-level people, like you said, have not.
Right.
Yeah. My daughter's internship is $30 an hour, her summer internship through college at an accounting firm. And she's working full time for $30 an hour. And like, but that's a lot. I mean, she has a friend that's making 20. Most of her friends are making 20 an hour in their internships. And $30 an hour, I'm like, that's incredible.
It's a lot for free.
She's an intern.
And for intern work, sometimes you have to do free.
Yes. Oh, well, back when I was, like, she said, at least at her college, like, all the kids got paid internships. She goes, they don't have, they have to pay you. And I'm like, oh, honey. Like, oh, Allie, no. When I was in college and you got an internship with a big company, you begged them to let you be there and you'd do anything they asked you. Clean the trash, right. Yeah, janitorial duties. Even if you're going to school to be an engineer, yep. Honeywell or TRW or Texas Instruments,
yep.
They would have you. They'd bring you in from the top colleges in the city up here in Minneapolis where I'm from. They'd bring the internships in and they would either not get paid or it'd be like $100 a week or they'd cover your part. Yeah. You know, it's just like, no, free internships were the way, a way of life in my day. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these kids today have no, they wouldn't do anything for free.
No.
Least of all work.
No, they're not going to do it. I don't blame them, but you know what? They don't have to.
Right.
Somebody will pay them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
We should talk about inflation a little bit.
Well, we have been. I think this is inflation, right?
Internship inflation.
Yeah. Well, and why don't you give us, help us understand what inflation is and what we're looking at here, Chris.
So the basic definition of inflation is it's a rise in prices and a drop in purchasing power over time. So that's critical that you remember that it's over time, and that's why it gets a percentage, right? So at the level at which purchasing power fails can be shown in the average price of increase of a basket of selected goods and services over a defined period of time.
A basket of selected goods and services.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tony. So here in the U.S., each month, the Bureau of Labor Statistics collects the prices of about 94,000 items.
Wow.
From a scientifically chosen sample of goods and services. And that creates a representative example. So then they take those and they figure out what the price changes are. Now, if it's an upgrading quality of a product, then those get thrown out, right? And so they do a separate survey of roughly like 36,000 people. The things that get thrown out are like when we upgraded from cathode ray tube TVs to LEDs,
yeah.
I think TVs got taken out of it, because we're all upgrading to get rid of those, boat anchors and go to the, you know, a 40-pound TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, it's funny, a basket of selected goods. That sounds like a good album title for your punk band, Chris, or your your banjo group.
We are
a basket of selected goods. What do you think? Like a good album title?
Yeah, I think it is. It's a name of a band.
Yeah, a basket of selected goods. It's a better album title, but let's get back to your definition of inflation.
Yeah. So to understand what inflation is, it is the rate at which the cost of goods and services increase. It is sometimes classified in three categories: demand pull, cost push, and built in. So the most used inflation indexes are the wholesale price index and the consumer price index. So there's two different indexes they look at. Depending on your personal view, as well as the pace of change, inflation can be viewed either positively or negatively, right? Because if you're somebody selling, it's great. People with tangible assets like property or stock commodities may prefer to see some level of inflation because it may increase the value of those assets. So now if you're paying the property taxes on it, maybe not so much, but if you're going to sell it soon, right. Yeah, you want those that inflation.
Yeah, if it's an investment that you're going to sell, then it's good if the price goes up. And I think you've given us a great definition breaking down inflation. Of course, people think, I know what inflation is. It's when the cost of goods go up. But, you know, apparently there's more to it than that. And I think as it relates to your financial strategies, that's important. So what are some of the things our listeners should know about that, how it's going to affect their finances?
Well, so if we look at it, there's products over time that are included in this. And so that survey They include things like grains, metals, fuels, healthcare, entertainment, utilities, and more. So it depends on how much you use those kind of things, how much it affects your personal finances, and then also your overall financial strategy, especially if you're in retirement and you're dependent on things like the stock market to be going up when inflation goes up, and it hasn't been. So we need to have things that can counteract that when the market is low, that we can rely on it. We need to have different assets, and inflation really hit it home for a lot of people that they need good diversification of assets. And that's not having one stock, you know, with having GE and Coca-Cola. That's not diversification. Okay. When the market goes down, that is an asset class. You need a different asset. So when these price levels go up, you need another place. And so that's what a financial planner can help you do, is figure out where to have an asset class that's not going to go down in value, but that can help support you when we have inflation and can respond to inflation over time, so that your money doesn't lose value.
Yeah. Yeah. And we mentioned the Fed earlier, but can you give us a little more detail on how the government tries to tamp down rising inflation or stop
it? Sure. So when the central bank, so they take measures to manage the money supply, they manage the credit and the supply with the goal of keeping inflation within limits. They'll keep the economy humming along. So monetarism is a theory that highlights the relationship between inflation and the money supply in an economy. The article used that I read was using this example, so I found this really interesting. So following the Spanish conquest of the Aztec and the Incan empires, large amounts of gold and silver ended up in European economies, including Spain, because they're the ones that conquered most of those empires. Because the money supply surged so quickly, the value of money tanked, leading to fast rising prices. This is, we're talking the 1500s, right? When 1500s, 1600s, when all this gold and silver was being plundered from South America and taken back to Europe.
So inflation isn't a new thing that isn't unique to us right now. Yeah.
No.
People who thought this is so bad, we've got it so terrible, things are worse than the world is so bad off because of inflation. Well, yeah, this is nothing new. I mean, these things happen. There are ebbs and flows in the financial world, and there have been since the beginning of time, right?
That's right.
Supply and demand, inflation issues, they've been around as long as monetary units have been used. That's for sure.
As soon as we had to start trading with others on goods, services, or whatever, there's inflation, you know. So a ship will take off from a port with something and they know they can trade it for something else. And they show up and they say, well, we're only going to give you this much for what you brought, right? That's inflation right there. Even without coin, we had inflation.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Even in a trade-based society, we had inflation. Well, let's keep rolling here. I think this has been an interesting show. What do you have for us next?
So the next thing I want to talk about is that the U.S. inflation has hit a two-year low in this past May. So that's great news, right? So we've highlighted some of the common causes of inflation. The rise in money supply is the root cause, right? Through it ultimately plays out within the economy in various ways. A nation's money supply can be increased by monetary authorities by printing and offering more money, legally devaluating legal tender, or loaning new money as reserves credits via the banking system by purchasing government bonds from banks on the secondary market. And this is the typical method of how it's done. So in all three of these examples, money ends up losing purchasing power. So, you know, why does this drives inflation? Can be lumped into three categories: the demand pull inflation, the cost push inflation, and the built-in inflation.
Right. So demand pull, cost push, and built-in. So give us some definitions for those three.
So demand pull inflation, Tony, is when there's an increase in the money supply and credit that stimulates the overall demand for goods and services to increase quicker than the economy's production ability. This increased demand, which can then lead to price increases. Okay. So when folks have more money, we got positive consumer sentiment, yep, and people are buying stuff. And this All is right. kind of what happened after COVID, right?
Yeah. So what about?
Yeah, go ahead.
So what about cost push? Let's move to that one.
Okay.
What about cost push
inflation? So cost push inflation, Tony, is this occurs when the rise in prices work through the production process. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's when all those costs of all those goods went up, then it goes through the process, the labor increases, the transportation increases, all those kind of things. And so when the increases to the money supply and credit funnel their way through those commodities or other assets markets, the cost of numerous intermediate goods jump. This is especially true if there's a negative economic occurrence to supply of particularly essential commodities.
Well, we covered a lot today on inflation, yeah, had a great discussion. Give us the information that our listeners need to contact you to get a plan in place to deal with this.
Yeah, if you want to have a financial plan that is resistant to inflation, you need to seek professional help. Give us a call at 719-210-4242. Go out to our website, nolanfinancialpartners.com. Check out our radio show there. If you call, mention the radio show, we're offering complimentary consultations during the week. So you can come in, sit down with us and chat about how to fix your financial strategy so it's resistant to inflation.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Chris. That's great. What's that phone number one more time?
That's 719-210-4242.
All right. And that does it for today's episode of Nolan Financial Radio with our host, Chris McKinney.
Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Nolan Financial Radio. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Tara Nolan at Tara Nolan Advisory Services. Call 719-210-4242 or visit the website at taraenolan.com.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.